News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Hey, y'all, it is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, and Quinn Hillier right now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not sure.
Happy birthday.
Quinn even knows that's happening right now.
Happy birthday to you.
Could you hear the happy birthday song that we just had sung for you?
Oh.
Well, trust us. It was magnificent.
It sounded something like this.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, whatever it was. Thank you.
Yes.
Thought you heard it that time. Okay, anyway.
Means I'm old.
Anything for you, Quinn, and I heard the Saints, a nice birthday present for you this year. They're cutting all of your favorite players, so pretty exciting.
I'm going to go crawl under a rock. But out of the blue, my Georgetown Hoyas were resurrected last week.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Ewing coach, so the Hoyas are back.
So how does Patrick Ewing, 7 foot tall, African-American man,
NBA Hall of Famer,
number hanging in the rafters of Madison Square Garden, not get access to where he wanted to go in that in said building because the guy's like, you don't have the right credentials. He's Patrick Ewing. Did you see that story?
I saw that story. How do you not recognize a 7 foot dude? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, like he may belong somewhere with the game of basketball here. He may be allowed to be in certain areas, and plus his number hangs in the rafters at the arena.
The rafters.
So anyway, just look up, man.
Anyway, he's got a smile as big as anything you've ever seen. So even if he doesn't have the credentials and you don't know who he is, you still should let him by just because he smiles so big.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
He
yep.
was my neighbor 1 year, by the way.
That's cool.
Really?
That's cool.
I was there at the same time he was. I was sports editor of the year we won the national championship, and he was shy but very nice. I mean, he might not remember your name, but he recognized your face, and he'd look up, and he'd smile that big smile, and he'd say hello to anybody that passed.
That's pretty cool. And Dalton and I were talking about this, like Juwan Howard, Patrick Ewing. These guys have made their money. They don't have to go through this aggravation of coaching kids. They must love what they do because coaching is a grind.
It is a grind, but he loves it, and I think he really does want to bring Georgetown back to where it was. I think that's sort of a mission for him.
Well, wish him well.
I was happy to see him finally get them turned around.
All right, let's talk some politics, Quinn. And you said for us to check out your latest piece, and to be honest with you here, I had to look up a definition.
Yeah, we were a little confused.
Google Dictionary. You say the lugubrious Mr. Biden, and I had to look it up on Google.
Lugubrious.
There we go.
Lugubrious.
Morose.
Eeyore-ish.
Eeyore-ish, like Eeyore the donkey.
Yeah,
and dour.
What he sounded like in that speech. I don't know. Maybe it sells well in liberal parts of the country where they seem to see themselves as victims of everything and see everything as a huge tragedy. To me and a lot of other people I talked to, it came across sounding lugubrious. It sounded like, it was, oh, woe is me. And yes, we have had a hard time in the last year. But he literally said, these are the darkest times this nation has ever faced. And not only is that an overstatement, it's historically illiterate. I mean, I'm sorry, but World War One and the Great Flu back to back, much worse than this. The Depression and World War Two, much worse than this. The Civil War, so much worse than this, you can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole tone was sort of Jimmy Carter-like. Remember Jimmy Carter and his speech that was dubbed the malaise speech because he said, we have to start accepting limits and we have to search our own souls. I don't think Biden ever came close to sounding upbeat. He had a few words, yes, we can get over this, but he said it like you were the donkey. And then when he came to lay out specific goals, that was the worst. He said, maybe if we're good, we can have an outdoor barbecue with family and close friends by July 4th.
Hmm. 2023.
More than half the country right now is having, weather permitting, outdoor barbecues with family and close friends right now. If you're outdoors, as long as you use the most basic of precautions, you're safe.
So
that is not a goal. That's I don't even know what you call that, but it's pitiful.
Biden's tone was wrong, and Biden's facts were wrong, but other than that, it was a pretty good speech. Huh?
Yeah, his tone, his facts, and his goals. I mean, that's like setting that as a goal is like telling NASA, okay, you've been to the moon, and you've got a rover on Mars. Now your next mission is to go back to Earth orbit.
But Quinn, isn't this what the American people wanted? Isn't there was a pessimism mandate during the election of last year because they had it with Trump and his optimism and saying we'd get a vaccine by the end of the year and saying we'd get so many shots out at a certain time, and you know his words where he said he didn't want to create a panic. The American people said they felt that was basically all lies from the president, and I was talking about this with Dan earlier. Biden's goal of 1 million vaccine shots per day was, it's like he is setting the goal to lose half a pound during a, like his goal is, over the next 4 months, I will lose a half a pound. I know I can do it. Trump gets in there. He says, okay, over the next 4 months, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's setting goals that are easily reachable. And I think it's because the American, not all the American people, obviously, but people ripped on Trump for setting these optimistic goals his entire presidency.
Well, yeah, we all remember Biden's great speech during the campaign where he said, I'm going to come out and offer you pessimism, right? No, look, the other obnoxious thing about it, and your listeners know, I was no big Trump fan, but give credit where it's due, and Biden didn't. He acted as if he inherited a bare cupboard and that he personally developed the vaccines and got them ramped up. His goal of 1 million vaccines a day was absurd. You know why?
It was already happening.
The week leading into his inauguration day, we averaged as a nation 966,000 vaccines a day, which means we were already 34,000 away from 1 million. And on inauguration day, 1.5 million. That's how fast it was ramping up. By the time he offered the million a day goal, we had already surpassed it. And now he's claiming credit for having surpassed it when it was already surpassed when he took office. That's obnoxious. And he gave no credit to Mike Pence's task force, which oversaw and developed helped the development of these vaccines through Operation Warp Speed. It was the fastest development of a vaccine by far for anything, any ailment in the history of mankind, and Biden gave them no credit for that. That's not just not right. That's churlish. It's petty. It's not how we Americans act. You give credit where it's due, for goodness sake.
There's another situation. We'll get around to this. We're heading to a break right now. But, Dalton, I know I want to get to the Cuomo stuff because okay. I'm a fan of the Cuomo scandal. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But also down at the border, Quinn, once again, it's almost like he said, she said. Where did the problem start with Donald Trump? Is it starting now with Joe Biden? Everybody's got their sides on this, but there's no avoiding the fact that there is a real crisis down there, right?
It's a real crisis.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that maybe the current administration could at least
acknowledge
or say, right? I don't think that's frustrating a lot of Americans there. 60 minutes after 8 o'clock, Quinn Hillier, our birthday boy on FM Talk 106.5. 821 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwig, and Mobile Mornings. Quinn Hillier from the Washington Examiner and QuinnHillier.com, our Tuesday morning guest, as always.
Yeah, so Quinn, we were talking about President Eeyore, or the lugubrious president, as you said earlier, because of his, dire tone during the COVID-19 one-year address that he had Thursday night. Another major item in regards to President Biden is that he hasn't held a legitimate press conference yet, right?
Since the modern media, since the era of electronic media, going back to radio, he has way exceeded the longest time without an open press conference ever set. The previous record was only 33 days without a press conference. He's now gone 50-something days. He is doing exactly what he did during the campaign, which is basically hide in his basement as if he or his handlers are afraid that he can't handle a fastball question.
So if and when the streak ends, yay. He'll no doubt be hit with some questions about what's going on at the border right now. What is going on at the border right now, Quinn?
Well, his own incoming Secretary of Homeland Security just said in the last 24 hours that there are more undocumented people flooding the border now than there have been in the last two decades. This is a crisis of Joe Biden's making. This is a guy who came in and immediately did an executive order that said we are going to stop for 100 days all deportations. Now, thank goodness a federal district judge blocked that executive order. So it's still being fought out in the courts. But meanwhile, he sent the message that, hey, if you want to come in, You've got 100 days to get lost in America. Even if we catch you, we're not going to deport you. And that, combined with all his other rhetoric, combined with all of his other, I think there have been 7 total executive orders, if I'm not right, having to do with immigration, all of them basically saying, we're not going to come down on you. And when you send a message that there is no penalty for doing something illegal, guess what? You get more illegality. Mm-hmm. And this is entirely of Joe Biden's making.
So, Quinn, I understand half of America, they say, let the illegal immigrants in. Half of America will say you need to go about things the right way and legally become a citizen. And that will not change for most people, their opinions on that. What I don't understand is this is happening during a worldwide pandemic, and it's a pandemic that the Democrats have wanted more rules for what people can and can't do than the Republicans have, certainly. So why is this different? I know they're testing at the border, but it doesn't seem to matter. They're going to let them through anyway.
They're not testing at the border. That's the thing. If you fly in legally from Mexico as a tourist with a legitimate passport, as somebody with a green card, you get tested. If they catch you coming across the border and put you in one of these detention facilities, guess what? No testing.
Mm-hmm. Would you say
it's sickening? The rules are weaker for illegals than for legals.
Makes perfect sense.
Are you allowed to say that that's a super spreader event, or is that racist now? That the border crisis could be a super spreader.
Everything's racist now. Yeah. Your existence, my existence, is racist now. Don't you know that? Get with the program.
Yeah, I was reading more of your work at QuinnHillier.com and saw you writing about that as well. Before we go, it's too delicious to me. The Cuomo thing, Andrew Cuomo. Here's what Dalton put it best. He said, de Blasio and Cuomo is like the nerdy class president is finally taking the jock. He's snitching on the jock, and he's getting so much pleasure out of it. And Cuomo is one of these guys. His tactics of bullying and resorting to being a jerk to get his way for 30, 40 years. It's catching up to him now, Quinn. That's my assessment.
Oh, it's definitely catching up to him now. And look, I'm the first to say, there's got to be some due process here. I do not say automatically believe all women or sure. automatically believe all accusers. But when you get to this level and this number of people and the details being so similar, et cetera, it starts to become sort of overwhelmingly obvious that some of these allegations are almost certainly true. And meanwhile, by his own standards, he should be gone, because remember when Christine Blasey Ford came out with her still sort of not entirely 100% believable accusations mm-hmm. against now Justice Brett Kavanaugh, she had no corroborating evidence. It was from 35 years ago, and the people that she said were at the party said they don't even remember such a party, and yet Cuomo himself, this is a quote, or it's a quote from memory, I saw it yesterday, he said, why wouldn't you believe her? Why would she make something like that up?
Wow.
So based on that, based on one accusation from 35 years ago should disqualify somebody for office. That's the standard that Cuomo offered. Now he's got at least seven accusations with more on the way, almost all of them recent, and all of them much more, or several of them much more severe than what Christine Blasey Ford said. You know what? He should have been gone 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. If he did these things, then, you know, he should be punished for it. But I want to talk about the political game that's being played here. And we've seen so many Democrats in New York and outside of New York now call for Cuomo to resign. Did he start to get too much attention in the Democratic Party? I'm kind of surprised that so many are wanting him to leave office now.
Well, look, the national media literally covered his press conferences on the coronavirus every single day for something like 2 months, and they favorably contrasted them with those being held by Trump, even though he was the author of the single most deadly policy there was, which was sending old people back to nursing homes when they had coronavirus. I mean, tens of thousands, if I remember right, mm-hmm. or certainly over 10,000 people died at nursing homes in New York. That almost certainly didn't have to die.
And then they cooked the numbers as well. And by the way, Quinn,
happy birthday to you.
Happy these lovely singers are offering you a birthday wish again.
Happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you. Birthday. Thank
very
you.
Very welcome.
Happy
Quinn, let everybody
to you.
Let everybody know where the people can read more of your work, The Birthday Boy, and take a look at some of your other work, like your novels and such.
Well, most of it is at just Google Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner. Every other week, I update at QuinnHillier.com. You can catch all of them in one place. And please order my books at Amazon.com. It's called Mad Jones. It's the Mad Jones Trilogy.
Thank you, Quinn, for
thank you all.
Touching all the bases here today.
Happy birthday, Quinn. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Dan and Dalton, 8:29. And the phone lines are open. We should let you know about that,
yeah,
right?
343-0106. Give us a call. FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And, you know, I know a lot of people out there are looking to either trade in their vehicle or even just sell it outright, and you can help them with that at McConnell.
That's right. We will buy it. I mean, you'll have to trade it. Hey, we'll buy it. Other dealers not giving you enough money, just give us a call. We'll buy it and make you do your deal. If you don't see anything we got here, we got plenty of stuff online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got trucks, SUVs. The GM certified gives you an extra 12 on the warranty. Great deals going on. Unfortunately, we're having a little construction work here, so we got the two exits going in used cars and next to Mercedes. Y'all come right through that lane, or at the west of the property right there by the ditch, you can come in that way and come on the service lane. The main entrance is going to be blocked for a few days, but we're going to get that going and be back and going again. And like I said, we got plenty of deals going on. If you want to sell your car, just call Gene or I, 251-476-4141. Give us a VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price. We got those new Yukons and trucks coming in, so y'all need to jump on those real quick. Like, those are some bad rides coming in.
They sure are. They look awesome. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
The man who once handed me a $100 bill at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Great, great story, and we won't get into it. It sounds like a gambling debt or something, but it's not what it was. It's 838 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, birthday boy Quinn Hillier. It was nice for him to hang with us for a half hour or so. And so much to get to, so much to talk about. We've already gotten to some of it here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Our three big things include unemployment is down in the state of Alabama. That's good news. Also, keeping a close eye on what Joe Biden's doing with the tax increases.
Yeah, big, big money coming up. The next economic stimulus bill, they're saying, could cost as much as $4 trillion. Mm. And it will, according to many reports out there now, include the biggest tax hike in the last 30 years. It's crazy when you start thinking about how much money that America has spent on this virus. And it's interesting running that story at the same time we're talking about unemployment being down,
mm-hmm.
COVID cases being down, hospitalizations being down, and all of this money still being spent. So $4 trillion in stimulus bills under former President Trump. Just passed the $1.9 trillion bill on Friday. Biden signed that. And then they're looking at a $4 trillion bill to come. And then, I don't think this will be included in that same bill, an infrastructure package, which presidents have been campaigning on for decades now. But it's just, when will this catch up to us, spending all this money? When will inflation hit? And some would argue that we're already seeing signs of inflation now. But tax bill that they're saying will be in this next stimulus bill, it'll raise the corporate rate from 21 to 28%. Those that make more than $400,000 a year, their income rate will go up. It'll expand the estate tax. Remember, that was talked about a lot during the debates between the Democrats who were running for president. And it would also create a capital gains rate for individuals that earn more than $1 million a year. They do say that this will...
Well, I'm not making $400,000 and I'm not making $1 million. So yeah. when you get to my category, I'll raise my hand.
Yeah. Well, they said that this would raise, over 10 years, $2.1 trillion in new revenue. So just think about that. Raising these rates as high as they plan to raise them will still only make $2.1 trillion over the next decade, which, after all this spending is done, that would be a fifth of how much has been spent during this pandemic to kind of try to right the economic ship. I just think a lot of Americans who are used to doing their own budgets, mm-hmm. and looking at money and working with the finances of companies, they're saying, when is too much spent? When will the spending be too much, and why are we spending that much now? It's made some sense last year and even towards the end of last year, but as we're starting to at least seem to come out of this pandemic, and we might not be, it might hit again, but why are we spending so much now is the big question.
I agree 100%. Like, why now, for sure? You know, if you listen to any kind of commercial selling any service or product over the last year, you know that we're in very uncertain times.
That's what I've heard.
So when it first hit, of course, there was kind of a panic, and it was like, how in the world are we going to... So it was March 13th. How are we going to make it to April with all these doors shut down? How are we going to make it to May? How are we going to make it a year later? A lot of businesses and a lot of... You've seen people adjust on the fly. People have made changes in their own businesses, the way they do business. Restaurants were a great example of that, where, you know, pick up at the curb, and they're going to... So many more, and probably a lot of it, excuse me, Dalton, has got to do with the way we've handled it in the state of Alabama, and mm-hmm. we're not a very populous state, so we have that going for us, but I'm amazed that some of these so many of these businesses are still around.
Yeah.
They were able to make it. Certainly they got government assistance. No doubt that was big. But at the same time, they're still surviving. They're still here. Is all that money needed to put out the fire at this point? That's a fair question.
Yeah, and it's a different story here than it is in other states.
Yeah.
I don't know what the streets of New York look like. I don't know whether those businesses are coming back or not. I know a lot of the reports we've seen were that 90% of the restaurants in New York were not able to pay their rent.
Sure.
Because they've been shut down.
Yeah.
It's a different story in California. It's a different story depending on what state and then what city you live in. And I know we're in such a divided country right now. The left thinks that everything the right does is incorrect. The right thinks that everything the left does is wrong. But how are people that consider themselves moderate and vote both sides, or even people on the left, how can they look at this entire thing and say that having these businesses closed as long as they were was a good idea, especially now that we're seeing stats come out that whether you lived in Florida or whether you lived in California, the rates of COVID transmission and deaths ended up being almost not identical, but very close.
Yeah.
And the difference is, if you own a restaurant in Florida or you own a small business in Florida, you've been back at work for months now, and you've had people coming in and spending money at your business. That's just not the case in Los Angeles and not the case in New York City. They've been shut down for a really long time. And what I'm trying to say is we're still figuring things out.
Right.
We don't know everything about COVID-19. We don't know everything about the vaccines that are being put out there. I mean, just look at this report from yesterday, and Fauci was on CNN this weekend. They're now saying that the 6 feet of social distancing might not make any difference compared to 3 feet of social distancing.
I should not have given that lady at the Dollar General such a bad look the other day. I gave her
yeah.
Because she was inside my 6 feet, but I'm not sure she was inside 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize to you, ma'am.
She had just read the most recent CDC data.
I don't think she had.
And so what they're finding now is a lot of schools have been open, and the schools that have a 3 foot distancing policy, they're not seeing hardly any difference from a 6 foot policy. So think of almost every single store you go into now, especially if it's a national store like Costco, mm-hmm. Sam's Club, Best Buy, they have those 6 foot stickers all over the place. I mean, that became a rule, right? 6 feet of social distancing.
Yeah. Well,
and the science wasn't settled.
No,
3 feet is what they're looking at now.
And you're right. We're learning as we go with all of this. And through it all, through the pandemic and through the reaction to the pandemic by the government, by government rules and regulations that kind of flew out of nowhere, and that even applies to the state of Alabama, where a lot of people are frustrated that Governor Ivey still to this day has got all this executive power mm-hmm. to, you know, no matter what you think about the mask, yes, no, whatever, but it does frustrate a lot of Alabamians and a lot of the members of the House and Senate that it's all through her. She gets to make the call along with the Alabama State Department of Health.
Yeah, right? Dr. Scott Harris alongside her making those decisions. And I think that bill kind of stalled out for a little while. We'll see if they pass that in Montgomery this week.
What you got on your mind, you can text, but we'd love for you to call 343-0106, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. See, Dalton, I don't just make up stories to tell you.
No, you don't.
These stories have truth and foundation to them.
Another
849.
Another classic Dan Brennan story coming up in just a minute. this segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they do great work. It's a locally owned franchise. Trey Bennett brings his crew by if you need some junk removed. They do work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. Very easy service to use. You just tell them what you want them to take out of your yard or house, and they'll do it. You can just point, and they'll get rid of it for you. The price you get quoted is the price that you'll pay, so they won't add a bunch of charges after the fact. And also, what's really cool about using 1-800-GOT-JUNK, if it's e-waste, you're not supposed to throw into a dumpster, or even if it's stuff that you could donate and give to someone, they'll take care of that for you, make sure it ends up in the right hands or in the right final resting place. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and set up your appointment today.
851 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, along with Dalton Orwig. Your phone calls to 343-0106, including former Mobile County Sheriff Jack Tillman on the phone this morning. Jack, good morning.
Oh, it's good to. I had forgotten you was over there, and I do apologize for not calling you.
Glad to be. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you found me. And good to have you on. What would you like to talk about this morning?
Well, I was listening to. There's several radio stations, and I don't even know if I should say this on the radio, but I guess iHeart owns all of them. But you can play one station and turn it to another station, and it's playing the same song.
Yeah.
That happens constantly, and I just don't know what's happened to country music. It's I like some of it, but a lot of it I don't like.
So I was in country music for 25 years, as you know.
I know.
And so then it was basically a business decision where nationally they cut back on a lot of jobs. And little did I know when they circled my name on the ledger that it was going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. Because getting out of there and getting to a locally owned talk station has been a revelation for me. It's been a lot of fun. And just having the opportunity to sit in with Dalton every day, Sean Sullivan, also Jeff Porsche. It's a lot of fun.
I don't call Sean that much, but occasionally I'll call him. Especially if Jerry Call or one of my friends, Shane Stringer, or one of them's on there, I'll call cutting up with them. But I was just curious, I went into a music store to buy a CD player for my granddaughter, who's a great singer, And I asked him, I said, I need to buy a nice CD player. He said, Lord, nobody buys CD players. Well, I noticed that country music last year, I think I'm right, they had said that they lost $10 billion. Because people's apparently not downloading, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand all that stuff.
Dalton, you might have a better idea than I do on all that with the downloading and the making the music or making the money or not making the money.
Yeah, it's all about the streaming now and who gets the most streams. And I guess Morgan Wallen
was
the biggest
name. Apparently nobody's streaming because they lost all that money and the singers are back making CDs.
So, Jack, going down memory lane, do you remember a time I was emceeing an event at Heron Lakes, I believe, and someone in the audience decided to throw a roll at my head. Luckily, law enforcement was in the building.
Remember, like it was yesterday. It was a packed house, and you was emceeing the event.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I don't know why they picked you to emcee.
I don't either.
You're not funny.
I know. I know.
Anyway, so a friend of mine was sitting with me. He says, I bet you $100 you won't roll up a piece of bread. And, that bread is real thick anyway. And throw it at him. I said, all right, I'll take that bet. So I rolled it up, got it real round. And what was I sitting? I was probably sitting 30 foot from you.
Yeah, not that far.
And I slung that thing, and it went right toward your head. And you never moved. You just stuck your hand up and caught it and set it down.
And I was like,
and the people in there went absolutely berserk.
Well, it was funny because I was like, well, I've been assaulted. I need law enforcement. But it was law enforcement that threw it at me.
But yeah. What was so funny is they had a big-time coach. Who was that? He was a big-time coach. And he gets up there to give his talk. He looked at me and he goes, don't throw no bread at me.
Hey, Jack, thanks for calling and stay in touch.
Oh, my pleasure. I was really sorry to hear about Tom Purvis passing away. So
right. Thanks for your condolences. Thanks for taking me down memory lane. And now you know I'm here, so stay in touch.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jack Tillman, former sheriff, calling in and reliving the emceeing glory days of Dan Brennan.
Did I not tell you that story this morning? Is that ironic or what?
Yeah, how weird is that? You brought that up, and then he calls in. So you just snagged it right out of the air.
Snagged it right out of the air.
You'd be like a hero at Lambert's.
I was a hero that night.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. But all those events and all those doing those things, and he was like saying there was a big time coach was there. I couldn't tell you who it was because through the First and Ten Club, we've had so many players and coaches and people of note, and then we were able to honor young high school players mm-hmm. who went on to do great things. So it was always a lot of fun with Mike Gottfried and that bunch at the First and Ten Club.
Hey, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today, he talks with weekly guest Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. I'm sure they'll discuss why President Biden is yet to hold an official press conference, his first 55 days in office. Also, State Senator Will Barfoot, former U.S. Representative Parker Griffith joining the show.
My main man.
And also former state rep Paul DeMarco. So you don't want to miss the Jeff Poor Show coming up in just a few minutes.
Okay, so people are talking about the border, put troops on the border and turn them away. Simple. All right. A few more comments about the border. That one I can't read. Okay, so
so you know how Quinn earlier was mentioning Biden's speech last Thursday night to mark mm-hmm. a year since the COVID pandemic kind of began. I'm not sure when it exactly began, but that's the date they tabbed it for. And he was talking about Independence Day and what Americans may be allowed to do come July 4th if things stay on the right track. Well, Kristi Noem, who's becoming a pretty big name in the on the Republican side of things, she's the governor of South Dakota. Mm-hmm. She filed an application kind of with the National Park Service to have a fireworks show at Mount Rushmore. Now, you would think that that happens all the time, but really because of the wildfire worry out mm-hmm. there, they don't have it very often.
Okay.
Last year, they had fireworks at Mount Rushmore. It was the first time in 10 years. But she applied to have fireworks again this year, and the National Park Service turned her down and said no, they weren't going to allow that to happen. And the question now is, did they do that because they're worried about the risk of wildfires, or is this more of a partisan thing?
Political payback to Kristi Noem?
Yeah, because, you know, Biden's in office now. National Park Service is kind of, it's run under the Biden umbrella. Were they frustrated with First Noem's protocols for COVID-19 and what she is or is not allowing citizens of her state to do, or maybe some things she said in the media? Do you think this is political partisanship, or is this more about
following the science?
Following the science. It's because when you think of, you know, the grand reopening of America and coming back and bouncing back strong, and it being Independence Day weekend.
She's talking about the 4th of July itself?
Yeah, talking about the 4th of July. Mm. Would there be a better show of patriotism than
right.
a big to-do at Mount Rushmore? And is Biden shutting this down on his own, or is this the actual Park Service saying, actually, it's unsafe to do that? So I think it's a big question that needs to be answered.
That's a good one right there. And South Dakota had that big biker rally. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Sturgis.
How long ago was that? And there was all kinds of concern.
Was that October of last year?
It might have been.
September.
The weather was still kind of warm. And maybe in a way, still a little bit like, hey, you didn't follow the rules back then, right?
Could be.
FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poor on the way.